the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody.
We live in extraordinary times. Of this there is no doubt. The word awakening is used over and over to describe this epic pace of advancing insights and understandings into how the universe works. It's led us into innovation and invention unlike anything mankind has ever known. Hi, I'm Adam T. Gardner. Over time, I've become a whole food, whole herb medicine man. I'm the visionary for America's Medicine Wheels and creator of the Human Accelerator website. And I see myself as being just like you, filled with wonders about this amazing age we're all in. The Second Genesis Awakening one-hour radio show is going to bring it all home. Expose how evolutionary our lives can become every day. Your host, Deborah Bruintout, singer, songwriter, mother, and intuitive facilitator, is going to take you on a journey into the lives of folks just like you and me, who saw what was possible and took actions that have accelerated our lives into a whole and new reality. It's a level that, well, even our most advanced scientific insights don't realize yet how our daily lives can have this genetic activation of a second Genesis awakening and birth. It's written within the very fabric of our spirits, woven into every cell in our flesh. It's a truth we always knew was there, as its mysterious way transforms so many of our open hearts. Now, here's your host, Deborah.
Welcome to the show today. I am just really thrilled to have a wonderful guest as Renee Locklear White. And I wanted to just give a little bit about her at the Smithsonian today. Lorae Locklear Whitefeather is the Native American Church of Virginia's president. She is a retired veteran and a full-time volunteer involved in a variety of community efforts, outreach, education, and spiritual mentoring. Her efforts help leaders, military veterans assist in all ages, and senior citizens. Renee helps people seek better jobs for them and their families, helps give moms a break, and helps care for the afflicted, encourages and offers resources to those who are seeking, and helps other nonprofits like the Community Center Barnes of Rose Hill Art in the foothills of and Friends of Bluemont Clark County Memorial, VFW Post 9760, and the Shenandoah Area on Aging. She is a certified volunteer Medicare counselor with Virginia's Insurance Counseling and Assistant Programs, VICAP, and founded and leads a Medicare cafe in Northwestern Virginia. Renee is an officer with the Hospitallers Order of the St. Lazarus of Jerusalem, a life member of the VFW Post 9760, and is a lifetime member of the Lumbee Warriors Association of Indian Veterans. One word to describe our friend, Renee, is resourceful. Her aim is to create something good for others, and she hopes in some small way to eliminate suffering in people and in the community, in the nation, and in the world. Renee is a follower of Jesus Christ as she walks her road of life in a good way. She is an alumni of the University of North Carolina at the Pembroke, where she earned a Bachelor's of Fine Arts in 1988, a Bachelor's of Mathematics and in 1989, and later she earned a Master's of Diplomacy of Hawaii Pacific University. She is a military graduate of the Squad of Officer School and Air Command and Staff College. Her last military assignment was the public affairs spokesman for the Secretary of Defense at the Pentagon for Homeland Defense and Natural Disasters, Cyber and Intelligence. All right, so at her website, you can go there on the sanctuaryofthetrail.org and learn so much more. But one thing I want to come in with as I welcome our guest that is at the Smithsonian and find out all that's going on Lumbee Days is this quote, that when you go to her website, the Sanctuary on the Trail, that's her and her husband, Chris White, the sanctuaryofthetrail.org, this quote is right above her bio. It is neither your title nor your name that defines you, but what is written in your heart. Welcome to the show, Renee. That was a lot.
Well, Deborah, I'm humbled by your introduction. Thank you so much. Wow.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
I wanted the listeners to get a feel for your spirit, but I know that there's so much going on. You're today at the Smithsonian.
Yes, I am. I'm at the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian right now. I am sitting right now in the main floor of the lobby. We have Lumbee Days taking place, and I'm honored to have been selected to be here. And you probably hear the noise in the background of people walking around.
It's wonderful. Yeah. So, Renee, how did you get invited to the Smithsonian?
Well, one of my mentors is Frida Porter, who is the second in command for our tribe. She's a tribal administrator, and I've been in touch with her. We got reconnected over these last couple of years. She was my professor in college when I was young. She's always been a mentor to me, and like I said, we reconnected, and when she found out what I was up to, she's been putting together a list of people from our tribe to represent our people here at the Smithsonian, and she asked me if I would help represent our people. So of course, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Well, what's it like there today? What's the atmosphere like with so much
right
going
now,
on?
Right now, I am surrounded by people. There's probably 100 or so people around me right now walking around in the main lobby. We've had activities going throughout the day with music, dancing, tobacco tying. We've got arts and fine crafts that are unique to our tribe. That's another thing that they were looking at, was selecting people who had something to share or say or that are doing that is unique to our tribe and different than other places.
Well, that is what makes it so unique, is that my understanding is that it is the Native American Cultural Center is at the Museum of the Smithsonian. So if anyone wanted to go there and see that, then that's where they would go, is to the Smithsonian. And not today, because this is being recorded, but to go to the Smithsonian and just be in that environment. But I would like to know, Renee, a little bit more about your tribe and what are the Lumbee Days. I'm very excited to know.
Okay. Our tribe is... our tribe of people is actually made up of multiple tribes that did not leave from the North Carolina East Coast. We stayed and predominantly stayed in this one area of North Carolina, south, like middle of North Carolina. Robeson County is our main county. And over the years, we assimilated into the forced assimilation into the white culture, and we were not allowed to speak languages, so we speak English. We don't have the last remnants of our language was in the 1950s, and we're a group of multiple tribes, actually. So we trace our ancestry back to probably five or so tribes that stayed in that particular area. So
you're breaking up just a little bit. Could you just see if we can hear you a little better standing
okay.
somewhere else?
Okay. Can you hear me
pretty
better
good.
Now?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. So you were saying that there are five tribes that you come out of with the languages?
About five. Five or seven
about
tribes.
Five.
Some
five.
Of them are
extinct. Uh-huh.
And so we were given this name, Lumbee, actually just about 60 years ago. So we
uh-huh.
are relatively a new tribe as far as the name of the tribe, but our ancestors have lived there for longer than anybody can remember, and mainly in North Carolina.
Wow, that's very fascinating. I know that I've studied and done a lot of my history of finding a lot of my ancestors came out of North Carolina, and I've been looking at my roots, and so many people have never heard about the Lumbee. You know, I
yes.
have a love for what I've been to the Lumbee website, and I have a love
yes.
for the Lumbee people. But if they haven't heard about the tribe, what do you want the listeners to know most about your people?
Our people are survivors. I mean, the fact that we stayed and as a people.
You're breaking up just a little bit again.
The fact that we were able to come together as a people and unite into one new tribe speaks to our heritage and the strength of our community within ourselves.
So you're totally a survivor, and you've been there from the beginning, actually, it sounds like, and they have kept together, would you say? Is that what brings
yes.
you together as a tribe, do you feel?
Well, the land brings us together. That's one of the reasons why I'm here today, is to talk about food as medicine, and I'm highlighting three different plants that are indigenous to our area and to this part of the country. Some of the plants only grow over here, one of these plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our food, our culture is what connects us. And I think, too, it's not just the DNA that's running through your body, but the spiritual DNA that's passed down through people that take care of it. That's what connects us. That's our foundation, is the spirit that drives in our lives and our relationships, and a creator that's the center of our community. That's what holds us together.
That's what is the substance of life. You know, it's I hear that the spirit is the connector of all. And boy, that is very powerful to just hear that and feel that. I like that. So I noticed that you have this deep love for indigenous plants, and that you said, I want to do a healing plants and have them be the superstars. So
yes.
I like that very much. That really resonates to me, that the plants at the Smithsonian are the ones that are the superstars today. Is that correct?
Yes. When I got here this morning, I don't think they didn't really realize the fact that I was actually bringing real plants into the Smithsonian. So I was surrounded by a small contingency, a museum contingency, to make sure that these plants were safe to even bring in here. So they brought flashlights out and lights to inspect the plants to make sure that there was no critters on them or anything that could harm the artifacts and stuff. So they take a lot of great care here in a museum to protect everything. And so I'm happy to say that all the plants were approved to stay here. So I've been here all day.
The superstars are approved.
The plants.
Yeah, I like that. So what indigenous plants did you bring, and what are you that are representing at the Smithsonian? What plants are you?
So I brought three plants today. I brought the sunchoke, and I brought tobacco, and I've brought the muscadine grape, which are all indigenous to Virginia, and thrive here on the East Coast in North Carolina, mainly because of my people are from North Carolina. And these are indigenous plants. I'd be happy to talk to you about each one, so ask away.
What I really would love to start is the first plant, of course, to so many Native Americans throughout history and to the Lumbee is tobacco. Could you tell me, is that one that you're highlighting?
Yes, it is. Tobacco. I have actually wild,
of course.
natural tobacco, which is a sacred herb. Many people know, many people don't know, that tobacco is used primarily in our sacred ceremonies. We believe that the smoke that carries our thoughts and our prayers to Creator. And if you're really present and you're really watching, the smoke goes up, you can see the smoke dancing, and just imagine that your prayers are dancing on their way to Creator. How powerful is that?
That is very powerful, and they have is it that they also, what makes them a healing plant? I'm thinking about the enzymes and all that, the antioxidants, and of course I go there, but seeing the smoke dancing, that goes into the atmosphere, you know, like, it could it be also anti-parasitical?
Yes, there is scientific evidence that there's a lot of healing properties with tobacco and sage that's used mm-hmm. for smudging that can kill bacteria. Even today, Anna and our ancestors used tobacco for various physical conditions to treat, like as a painkiller for earache or toothache. Something that my mom used to do, my ancestors, was use as a poultice, so that you can use it in a small amount or a large amount. And I imagine a lot of people have been bit by a bee, you have a bee sting or a bug bite, a mosquito bite. You take a little bit of tobacco, just wet it, put it on top of that bee sting or that bug bite, and instantly you start feeling some relief. If it's really bad bug bite, you just put some Band-Aid over it to keep that there, and it's a much more natural way of, you know, healing.
Yeah, we do Kevin, Adam T. Gardner, he does a lot of comfrey, which I guess is a superstar over here, and makes that poultices, and we do that also. You know, it's such a healing agent. I want to know more about how tobacco is a healing for us. I'm fascinated about how your mother did the ear. I just have a lot of questions, so how about it?
Yeah, well, some of those techniques are ancient. Sometimes it's just the smoke, by just blowing the smoke. And again, some of that is also part of our history in the ceremonies. Like when a warrior went into battle, a leader would blow smoke into their face before they went, in various situations in our culture. The smoke is not just used to be smoking as a relaxing mm-hmm. or stimulating thing, but there's the happy parts of your brain. But the dopamine and the serotonin, it increases those levels in your brain through the nicotine. Something that's fascinating to me about nicotine that's in tobacco is if you trace the history of that word, it actually comes from a French ambassador to Portugal, who used nicotine to cure a man who had a tumor. So he was applying tobacco poultices to that man. And so from that event, they named that ingredient, that stimulant, and tobacco, nicotine, after that French ambassador.
Right. Because he knew that. And that's just fascinating to me, that I like that. I was reading, which you have on your website, I am going to refer to that. Could you just say your website and where you're at about the Sanctuary on the Trail?
Our website is sanctuaryonthetrail.org. That's www.sanctuary, S-A-N-C-T-U-A-R-Y, onthetrail.org. That's our Sanctuary Neutral website. We have another website that we hold harvest festivals. It's called www.harvestgathering.org. If you'd like to go take a look at that.
Could you say that really slow?
Because I do want the listeners to.
H-A-R-V-E-S-T, gathering, G-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-G, dot O-R-G, harvestgathering.org. That's our event website where we have some of our cultural events. Actually, harvestgathering.org is a, you go there now, you'll see the gathering, which is coming up, and it's an agricultural event is the center point of that. So you can see plants are very important to us. They're vital. We feel like a lot of plants have gotten a sort of a bad rap, and it's almost like they're in jail, you know. So we want to set
right.
the plants free. Set the plants
yeah.
free.
That's the plants free. I know that where you will have some of this from the radio show on your website, you'll have on the Sanctuary Trail. There is a thing about the history. I'm reading the one about history of bad science and modified tobacco. And
right.
I really was being with it. Really, they really have. It's time to set them free. And
right.
I was reading where you had written something that in 1982, tobacco became the first U.S. genetically modified plant.
Is that?
So we're going to come back.
This is 1982.
Yeah, we'll be right back. And this is Deborah, and this is the Second Genesis Awakening with our wonderful, beautiful guest, Renee Locke. Clear white feather, and we'll be right back.
Adam T. Gardner here with the humanaccelerator.org. Just wanted to let you know we've got a wonder-filled curriculum put together. The website's a gathering place for what's called our We Community. We're working to build America's medicine wheels where you'll be able to sample the most advanced regenerative medicine and lifestyles ever known. But you don't have to wait for us to finish the building in order to begin your adventure into insights and understandings that'll be at our completed cultural center near Zion National Park. You can join the We Community for free. We've got over a dozen videos to share about us, about life, about the possibility that mankind now has to live free of all sickness and disease. That's the humanaccelerator.org. See you there.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And welcome back to the Second Genesis Awakening with your host, Deborah Bruintout, and welcome, Renee Locklear Whitefeather, at the Smithsonian Institute for the Lumbee Days. And we're just excited to have you here and all the excitement that's going on there right now. As we went out, Renee, we were talking about the tobacco as our superstar and that
right.
how we want to have the all the plants have had a bad rap or to set them free. And I was being with an educational tidbit that I got from you, that is in 1982, tobacco became the first U.S. genetically modified plant. Would you like to just care to tell us a little bit
yeah,
about
well, that's
that?
Right. That's right. It's hard to believe, you know, just in 1982, that tobacco was the first genetically modified plant. I mean, who knew? It's
right.
surprising and it's also shocking. I was also, you know, I'm still learning this stuff. I don't know everything, but and I'm not a smoker. You know, we use tobacco in our ceremonies, but I personally don't smoke.
It's
fascinating to me about cigarettes, for example. Cigarettes have 600 additives to the tobacco that's in a cigarette, and you know the chemicals that cause cancer. There's pesticides, herbicides, heavy metals, even other things that you don't even want to hear me say. That's inside.
Yeah, I was reading some of that.
Yeah, so in the adulterated tobacco. What I'm showing here at the Smithsonian today is unadulterated, natural Native American wild tobacco.
Oh, that sounded so good. It feels like it's setting them free because they are medicine, and they're alive, and they are an intelligence that has properties for just healing. So, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So, did your Lumbee ancestors grow? I want to go to our next wonderful plant, healing plant superstar, and that's the sunchoke. Did they grow in Virginia? Or with
absolutely.
Columbia?
North Carolina, Virginia. I wanted to say one more quick thing about tobacco.
Oh, good.
Tobacco put North Carolina on the map. My ancestors grew up cropping tobacco and harvesting tobacco, and still do today. North Carolina is the world, I think it's like 80% of the world's particular kind of tobacco is still grown in North Carolina. The next plant that I wanted I'm talking about here is the sunchoke. It's also called a Jerusalem artichoke, but it's not from Jerusalem, and it's not an artichoke, but it's called a sunchoke, I think, is its most popular name. And what's so exciting about the sunchoke is that it's good for people who are struggling with diabetes.
Oh, I want to hear more about that, Renee.
Okay. So, I've got some growing in my front yard right now. It helps regulate your blood sugar levels. It has no starch, so it can be substituted for potato, but it has no starch. And it's low in fat, it's high in calories, it contains fiber, antioxidants, vitamins A, B, and C, A, C, and E. It's really high in potassium, copper, and iron. It has an enzyme in it that's important, that helps with those struggling with diabetes. It helps regulate high blood pressure, helps lower blood cholesterol and blood levels. And it's also prebiotic. So if somebody's had, something happen, they've lost their intestinal flora and their...
You're breaking up just a little bit. Could you just over just
nope.
a little bit?
Nope, still in the same spot. I'll move a little bit. Does that sound better?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Okay, so it's a great prebiotic too. So just all around,
I like
wonderful,
that.
Wonderful plant, easy to grow, abundant. It provides an abundance and is so healthy.
It is. It's. I love thinking about like its texture or its taste. So, what's it? What does it taste like?
It's the root. There's a stem that's on the root, the knobby part of the. It looks a lot like a ginger root, but to me it tastes a little bit like a bean sprout or a water chestnut.
Mm,
it's nutty, earthy. It's got a delicate flavor in and of itself. It's unique. I can't really compare it to anything. You can substitute it for potatoes, but it doesn't taste like a potato. So you're just going to have to try it. So
yeah,
but others are just going to have to try it.
Well, I love that. And then I now want to go to your next indigenous plant, and that is the muscadine grapes.
Yes, the muscadine grapes. This grape grows in
that.
My Lumbee town. I call it Lumbee town, where my people live. Almost every grandmother has this Gupranong muscadine grape. We call it the muscadine, but I think it's actually called the muscadine. It's more probably
yes. Thank you,
yeah. Yeah. But we have a southern accent where I live, so a lot of things sound different.
I like it. So what are their nutritious benefits?
Okay. So for the muscadine grape, it has an abundance of a cancer-fighting compound. And I might pronounce this wrong, too, for those who are healthy doctors. Resveratrol is an ingredient that's found in grapes that's found to help with fighting cancer. Well, the muscadine grape has 40 times more reversible in the blackened golden grapes than the Pinot or Chardonnay or the other grape varieties.
I like that, too. There's just so much healing, and the one thing that I love is the benefits of how we get from them, but also tell me more about the growing of all these indigenous plants in the area.
These plants are really easy to grow. They're also important plants for improving the wildlife habitat because they're flowering. All of them are flowering plants. The grapes, they're so easy to grow that they're also resistant to pests and diseases, unlike a lot of other grapes. So, you know, the moment's worry-free. It takes a little bit of suntoke to make a whole field. So if you're going to plant it, be sure that's where you want it. Because it's almost like a weed. It's a beautiful weed. It just grows so easily and so well. All of these are native wild plants. And then the tobacco, it can be grown a lot like tomatoes, really, if you've got the right soil.
So there's the vines that continue, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a vine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they keep going.
Or stalks. The tobacco is more like a stalk, you know, it goes upwards, but it's easy to grow like a tomato. You can probably hear music starting up in the background. My tribe getting ready to perform a song, so I'm going to start walking away so you can keep talking.
Okay, that sounds really great. So I'm just enjoying learning all the things that are the superstars, and I'm enjoying so much of your spirit. Like you said, everything is in the spirit of life. And so I'm being with all of that. And you're walking through the Smithsonian right now.
Yes,
so what
I
are
am.
You seeing?
I'm right now. Taking us on I a am journey. Passing by. You won't believe this, but I'm passing by an Indian motorcycle. It's sitting
okay.
on display in the museum. It says it's strange. Indian words and images are everywhere in American lives. And then they have some things on here about it. And it's the Indian Chief motorcycle from 1948. It's a classic motorcycle, you know.
Oh, wow!
So awesome. It's yellow, bright, bright yellow. And now that's the food court. We have three chefs from my tribe who are in the cafeteria here.
Oh, great.
The Mitsitam, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, Mitsitam Native Foods Cafe.
Uh-huh.
And then right now I'm walking up on some of my elders from my tribe. They are the Cranbrook Elders Club, and they are Lumbee quilters. And they are here quilting right here in front of everybody's magnificent quilt, and they're also tying tobacco.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, they have a dried tobacco, and they're showing how to tie it in some traditional ways, and they have it laying out here on the table for people to see. They're even gifting tobacco here.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
In the quilting, a lot of the quilt work that they're doing, they're incorporating our pine cone patch work, which is our tribal logo, into the quilt. So I wish you could see this one. It's red, yellow, black, and white. It's absolutely stunning on the wall here in front of me. And then they've got all the other types of quilts around.
So it's a lot going on today. And then you'll be there also tomorrow at the Lumbee Days.
Yes.
It's September 8th through the 9th.
And that's right.
So it's great. It's a lot going on there.
I just have Jenny. She's the marketing director for my tribe. And I see my tribal chief is standing over by where the music is, my tribal chairman.
And your tribal chief is your friend that we were talking about when you began all of this about what you were going to do and became, like I said, how did you get asked to do the Smithsonian?
The person we're speaking about is the tribal administrator. She's his second in command, I guess, or I think of military terms. But Frida, I think she's probably down on the floor there where the music is taking place.
So a lot
right now
is going
I'm passing passing a native Hawaiian canoe right now to move back towards the end of the museum so we can talk.
So we have a good place there.
You know what's really amazing to me is that as I can almost tear up, but as I'm walking around, my tribal logo is everywhere. And it just takes my breath away, you know, by the food court. There's my tribal logo right there at the museum door. And in front of the museum is our flag hanging on the wall. And it's just really touching for me to be here and experience this.
You're taking us right there, and I'm with you. I feel the spirit of what you're sharing. Ah, and the spirit of the flag. Tell me a little bit about the Lumbee flag. I would love that about the tribe and the flag.
Well, we have a flag, and then we have our tribal logo, and the symbol represents the circle of life, the medicine wheel. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight, you know, all people, the four directions. And then what makes our medicine wheel a little bit unique is that around the edges are these little triangles that go around the edges of that circle. And those represent the pine cone, which is important to us because we originate, our name comes from, we believe, from the Lumber River that runs through our tribe and the pine cones. And the pine cone trees grow high and strong in our community. And that pine cone patch is what we embroider onto a lot of the things that we create.
I'm feeling all of that and the spirit of the Lumbee. And thank you so much. It just takes my breath away. So we will be back. And I am honored to be with our beautiful guest, Renee Locklear Whitefeather, at the Smithsonian.
Thank you.
And this is the Second Genesis Awakenings. Deborah Bruin Tout, your host, and Dream Vision 7 Radio. And we'll be right back.
Adam T. Gardner here with the humanaccelerator.org, just letting you know we've created what I like to call the B movie. It'll make you laugh, I promise. It'll make you sigh with relief, it's finally here, this truth whose time has come. We've divided it into segments for easier viewing, which lets you zero in on thoughts you're attracted to so it can be played over and over during those periods. It's an evolutionary sharing that'll leave you transformed in ways you never could have imagined. Becoming a whole food holder medicine man over a 3-decade period, I share cutting-edge ways of living that'll seem new because of the modern insights we have, yet it's an ancient lifestyle genetically and epigenetically wired into every cell of the human body. Go to thehumanaccelerator.org and take the ride of your life. Adam T. Gardner here with thehumanaccelerator.org. For over 3 decades, I've lived an ancient lifestyle I call walking in the medicine of the plant kingdom. I've not eaten any animal flesh, no meat, no eggs, no fish, no milk, cream, or cheese for 30 years and counting. I've lived and witnessed what modern science says is impossible and now can share piercing insights into how food is medicine and medicine can be food. I'm writing a series of books called The Second Genesis Awakenings. Book 1 is The Second Genesis Diet, Welcome Home. It's a diet book unlike any diet book ever written, I promise. It's available online at our website, thehumanaccelerator.org. It's also at amazon.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back, and this is Deborah with the Second Genesis Awakenings, and we're talking to Renee Locklear White. I always do that, Locklear White. And you've got some people there that you're at the quilting and the, more about story time.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Would you, can we talk to them?
I would love to introduce you to somebody. Yeah, I want to introduce you to Sinead. She helps keep our heritage alive, she and her family, by designing jewelry, which I would love for your listeners to go visit. I'm here. Say hi, Sinead.
Hello.
Hi, you're with us on the Second Genesis Radio Show and Dream Vision 7 Radio, and I would love to know a little bit about your Lumbee days and your experience there at the Smithsonian and your jewelry and your and a little bit about you.
Okay, thank you. I'm Cynthia Locklear from Wauwatosa County, Pembroke, North Carolina, and we're excited to be at the Smithsonian. The name of our business is Sinead's Jewelers. And we make Lumbee jewelry, and the pattern comes from the bottom of the pine cone patchwork. And the first piece that my son made, he's the designer of the Lumbee ring, and it has four dates, which tells about our history of our people and where we come from. And the significance of the ring was not just having a jewelry, a piece of jewelry, but it was to tell a story and remind our children and children of who we are and where we've come from.
Oh, I love that. So in the jewelry, it tells the story. So every piece has a story for us.
Yes, ma'am.
To hand down. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So that the spirit lives on and continues to bless us all. Everyone has a story. And the most beautiful part, I feel, is that it's your tradition of the Lumbee is that you never forget the story, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So it's passed on. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. It's passed on. And it's the four significant dates, and it even talks about of when Huckleberry Lowry fought for our recognition of being able to vote for Native people. And then in the next date, it talks about our Lumbee school, the Norman school. And then the next date is when we were state recognized. And then the next one is when we fought on the Ku Klux Klan and held our ground as Native people. So we have so much to be thankful for where God's brought us from and where we're going. And this is our story to keep our heritage alive.
It's a beautiful story of survival, as Renee was saying, and how beautiful the culture is and how the spirit continues to live on, and the courage of great creator and great spirit that's here in the Lumbee days at the Smithsonian. I can feel it really strong with Renee and with you. And your name is also Renee?
Cynthia Locklear.
Cynthia, I love this. I feel excited to get to know you in this moment. So it feels like we're right there with you at the
Lumbee. Thank you.
So what a pleasure it is. I am thankful to you. Thank you.
May the Spirit always guide over you and shine and bless you.
Oh, thank
you.
Wow.
Are you still there?
I'm right here.
I wish you could smell her. She's got essential oils all over her. She smells wonderful.
She smells wonderful. And so much going on there. You know, I know that you're a chef, and I did want to ask you about this because so much, you have so much going on in your life. And you, for me, Renee, you are inspiration. And for me, you are my sister, and I just love you so much.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much.
You
so
inspire much.
Me. I need to
Thank
interview you.
You. Thank you. I want to, since I'm the one that gets to interview you, I want to know about that you're a chef and military veterans. Tell me more about what you're doing currently with being a chef and the military veterans.
All right. Well, first I'd like to set it up with that back in December, I was, doing my thing. We were at that time putting some clothes together and stuff for some hurricanes in North Carolina in my tribe, and I got a phone call on the phone, and it was who is now my supervisor, our chief at my work, Dusty, called me and said, "Hey, you're a veteran. You'd like to cook?" I'm like, "Yeah." I started laughing. He's like, "Why are you laughing?" I'm like, "Well, I do. I really like to cook." And he's like, "Well, we've got a job opening." So he drove over to my house and handed me the job description, and I put together a resume today for horticulture and a chef. And I didn't realize it, but I do have experience in that area. And so since January, I've been helping feed veterans who are dealing with various things in their lives. I cook for them 3 meals a day and prepare snacks. So sometimes it can be between 20 and 40 people per meal. And I have to say, I cannot do all the things that you're just saying that I'm doing. I can't do all those things without volunteers. I mean, I've got so many volunteers to help me at the retreat, Boulder Crest Retreat, and also with our sanctuary on the trail. Oh, my gosh. I'm nothing without my community and my friends and my family and the people who are helping carry the weight and do all the things that get done. One person can't do these things.
No, and that's what makes the gathering, and that's what makes, it just brings us all together. It's harmony. Renee, you just said something that I feel like is so beautiful and so what the world is about and how to bring us all together is what you just said. It's not just one person. It's everybody. And I know you really know that. You're always about making sure that everyone knows that everyone has a part, and nothing would get done without us all. Nothing.
Yeah. You know what? What I believe is that we're all gathering together. Maybe not all, but there's a lot of people. We're all gathering together, and we all come from different backgrounds. Some of us have a different DNA, and some of us don't have arms or legs. But you know what? We are a new tribe of people. I really, really do feel that way, that there's a new tribe rising, and it is amazing to be a part of it.
It is amazing, and that's why we are doing the Second Genesis Awakening, and we love to spotlight, like you, the healing plants are the superstars and great spirit that is in and through all things, and it is a happening. It is an awakening, and I'm so pleased to be with you, and I feel like all of us listening at the Smithsonian right now, you have a mentor whom you still keep in touch with, and she isn't, here, right? We were looking, you said she's maybe down on the other floor, but how, talking about everybody in our lives and our stories and how we can't do it alone, how has your mentor impacted you as a leader or as her being a leader? The leadership.
It's really hard to, in our life, to pick one single person when you think about all the school teachers you have growing up and your parents, your grandparents, or your neighbor people. And there's different people who come through. This one particular person, she was my professor in college. And one of the things that I remember the most was she left. I'm like, well, where did she go? And then, she went to pursue her PhD. And my mind was just blown. It was blown that as a woman, that we can do that. Not only can we go to college, but we can, as a Native American woman, go to the PhD. I didn't even know what that was, but it sounded really important. And so I've just kind of kept up with her and her life. And she's doing these amazing things with the environment. and has their own business, and has gotten hired back on to come back into our tribe to help us. She's doing a lot of amazing things, being just here, you know, helping orchestrate these types of events for our people to help us get federal recognition. A lot of people don't realize that, a lot of people don't even know our tribe exists, but we're the largest tribe east of the Mississippi. And people like Frida Locklear Porter, who cares enough to put her heart and soul into what she's doing to help try to get our people federally recognized, not just state recognized, but federally recognized back in the 1800s, but federally recognized in a different way. You know, with different benefits and recognition that our people truly deserve, because it is such a poor place, and so many people who are suffering where I live need people like her to help. I see her at a distance. I'm trying to walk up to her now to get her attention. If I don't know how much time you have on the phone.
Well, that sounds really good. We'd love to hear from her. Frida. Mm-hmm. From Frida.
Can you talk on the radio? Yes, you can. You come over and talk to the radio. Yeah, we're on live on the radio right now. Okay, this is Dr. Porter.
This is Deborah. And
hello, Deborah.
I'm hosting. Hello. You're with the Second Genesis Awakening Radio Show, and we are with Renee and feeling the spirit. We feel like actually we're right there with you in the Lumbee days.
Wonderful.
And it feels wonderful to be with all the things that are going on. We just barely talked with Cynthia and the story of the jewelry, and Renee was just sharing a little bit about you and how everyone is a integral part of making this happen, and you are just like bringing it all together, and that we just wanted to say thank you. And my question for you is, I just wanted to know if you had anything to say to everyone of what Lumbee Days is to you. As the tribal, one of the tribal leaders, as I understand, and so much more. What would you say, if you could, in just a few words?
Well, let me try to.
Yeah.
In a way that, well, first of all, our goal here was to bring the Lumbee story to the world, to the nation, and to the world. And, we knew we could do that here at the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian. I had a history here as a board of trustee member, and I knew if we were able to ever get our tribe here, have the opportunity to tell our story, showcase our culture, our traditions, and just bring our story here so that. The folks at the Capitol was our hope that we could influence their thoughts about up to the point of full federal recognition. And it's full federal recognition for the tribe is not really about benefits of any kind. It's about removing this second-class stigma. And so all of these efforts here during Lumbee Days is really bringing back a positive spirit to our people, and you know, just eliminating all this negativity about the Lumbees, the things that are said about us, and there are those that don't recognize the Lumbee as Indian, but we know who we are. We don't need other people's approval, but it would be nice to be recognized as when people say Lumbee, they appreciate and recognize us as one, as an Indian, and not in any question mark. So that was much longer than you'd asked for, but
no, actually, it was for me. Frida, it's perfection, because the spirit that you carry is just right on. And thank you. It is just that all of us can realize that you don't really need the recognition, but it's really about just saying we are Lumbee. And
that's
we are
exactly
here.
Right. Man, we are.
And
we have a lot.
The recognition is we're alive and we are resourceful.
That's right. That's great.
Right.
Very good. Okay. And what we're doing for our people back at home by being here and what is happening here at this event is, it's just, I don't even think there are words because people are. It just is doing a lot for people's spirit, you know, to have this happen.
So well, Renee has a saying, Frieda, and I don't mean to just come in, but Renee, on her website, she has a quote, and it says, "It is never your title nor your name that defines you, but it's what's written in your heart." And so when you said it is the heart of Lumbee, and the recognition is that we're alive and we're here. And so today at the Smithsonian, what a wonderful day to celebrate Lumbee Day.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we're going out. And thank you so much, Renee. Thank you. And this is the Second Genesis Awakening Show with Deborah Bruin-Yurtout at Dream Vision 7 Radio. And we'll see you next time.
Join us next time as the Second Genesis Awakening unfolds further mysteries into how our lives can be transformed through ancient insights and modern understandings of how the universe works upon us and within us.
Now remember, the show broadcasts every Monday on DreamVision7Radio.com at 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, you can catch me on my website anytime. Call in allangels.com. I've written a number of songs and they're available for download on my website. That's callinallangels.com.
The Second Genesis Awakening has been a production of thehumanaccelerator.org, your We community, working to build America's medicine wheels.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.